I was like, I bet you Dylan Gabriel throws the ball in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, we're going to do a Hail Mary. I was like, okay. They ran that Hail Mary, but the refs blew it dead, but the Hail Mary happened.
Yeah.
And then they ran the play. I said they were going to run. Classic Browns, dude.
Love it.
Classic Browns.
We can
what do you want to talk about today?
I mean, just a meeting. BG Toledo? I was just at BG.
I was going to say, that's probably going to dominate.
Yeah, we'll talk most about that. Pudge is actually might be late for the game on Saturday because he's going to be at a cat convention in Cleveland.
BFD. That is a BFD.
I learned that today. I think we can talk about, like, Toledo. I feel like BG embraces and celebrates the game more than Toledo does. Like, it's important to Toledo, but it's more just, like, under the Jason Campbell philosophy. It's just kind of like everything's just another game.
Is that why they lose important games?
Well, possibly. And then BG, like, is all in. Like, they have Toledo drills all year long. And, you know, that kind of nonsense.
Isn't there a rocket at the Glass Bowl Stadium pointed at BG's campus?
There is, but is that...
Maybe that rocket should be lit by a candle. BG... Toledo, Battle of I-75.
Yeah, we can get into Michigan, Ohio State real quick.
Just a little bit.
Just say.
Saiyan looked good.
Yeah. Saiyan looked good. Michigan looked bad. No, they looked fine.
Fine.
Wisconsin sucks.
Fine. Wisconsin give you a game, though.
What,
You went to the Michigan game.
I did.
Oh, you did? You invited me to go up there. I told you I was going to New Orleans.
How was NOLA?
The weather here was so much better. It was unbelievable. But we had a great time. It was like 70s,
yeah.
Overcast, and humid.
Okay.
And up here, you know, it was just 80s, sunny, windy.
Yeah.
And we're in
the Michigan
of the
game, though, first week of October, 86 degrees. They had mist machines in the stadium. When does Michigan Stadium have mist machines?
It's part of the new October.
I know.
Part of the new October that we have.
It may have been an Indian summer, but it's a Tiger's fall.
Oh!
Oh, that's so good.
Damn. Okay, so...
Are they not called the Indians anymore?
You can call it Indian Summer. I don't think you have to call it Guardian Summer.
Okay, good.
Because that was never a misnomer.
Okay, that's true.
We're going to start out with the Battle of I-75, though, even though you were in Ann Arbor.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I'll be at the Battle of I-75.
Of course you
Saturday.
Will. So will I.
Oh, sweet. Are you
shooting it? I thought I was going to shoot it, but I am not going to be shooting it. I'm going to be there in my normal... part of the rivalry official position, which is being just an unofficial hanger-on.
Love it.
Look
forward to seeing you there. Get a field pass from Coach George?
I will look to unethically obtain a field pass.
Perfect.
Welcome back to the Heart of the Rivalry, the Blades College Football Show. He is sports columnist Dave Briggs, the pavement on which the college football road goes. And I, of course, am your unceremonious litter at the side of that road. Blade photographer Phil Kaplan. Heart of the Rivalry covers college football's immaculate, pristine four programs, the four chambers of the heart. Ohio State, Michigan, and this week, one of our favorite weeks, BG and UT are but one. We don't have to have any separate talk.
Yeah.
We can just lance it together. That talk will be brought to you by Renewal by Anderson, the window replacement experts backed by over 120 years of quality and craftsmanship from Constellation.
It's fine.
I got to do it again.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Renewal by Anderson, the window replacement experts backed by over 120 years of quality and craftsmanship from consultation to installation. Renewal by Anderson makes upgrading your home easy, beautiful, and worry-free. We're also brought to you by Dale's Bar & Grill in Maumee. Whether you're looking for a table for the whole family or just a bar stool to catch the game, Dale's has you covered with a full menu of sandwiches, wraps, and salads. Combine that with 21 beers on tap, and there's something everyone can enjoy. What is the big news in the Battle of I-75 2025 edition, and why does it have to do with a cat who's not going to be there?
The cat will be there, Phil. And we're just passing on rumors. This podcast is nothing if not a festival of reckless speculation. That's why we have the fans. But I was just at the Bowling Green press conference. I kind of overheard that Pudge the Cat, America's favorite feline, might be pushing game time a little bit because he's going to be at a cat convention in Cleveland.
Yeah, network.
Apparently, it's a big deal, this convention. I believe it's might be an international convention, so... Is that really speaking? He has a speaking engagement. I believe he's actually the keynote speaker for the Saturday morning session. So look forward to that. But yeah, I mean, if you're a BGU or Toledo fan, this is the best week of the year, and it's on an October Saturday, noon. Great weather. They're expecting an even bigger crowd than the Liberty game a few weeks ago, which was BG's biggest home crowd in a decade. This one should be packed, and it should be awesome.
You know, we were just talking a little bit about how this is one of our favorite rivalries, but you were saying how Jason Candle tries to downplay that.
Oh, I don't
treat
know.
It as another game.
I don't know about downplaying it. They do embrace it. They certainly appreciate everything this means to the community. I just think Bowling Green embraces it to another level.
A magnitude above.
Scott Loeffler kind of, you know, all BG coaches embrace it, but Scott Loeffler kind of took it to a new level with Toledo drills almost every day of the season, and just kind of Toledo, 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 just kind of the way Ohio State and Michigan treat it, especially Ohio State and under Tressel and Urban Meyer. We can not to get into the last few years, but...
Or decades.
But yeah, Eddie George just kind of picked up where he left off, and He's instituted Toledo drills, and just the countdown clock continues. And you walk into the SIBO Center, which is where Bowling Green trains, and there's just pictures of Toledo Bowling Green games of yore. And they're kind of the opposite of what you would think for kind of motivating your own team. They're actually just kind of back-slapping confidence builders. Pictures of Bowling Green dominating Toledo. There's a picture of of a Bowling Green player flexing over a down Toledo player. Of a Bowling Green player taunting Toledo's fans after beating Toledo.
We only have good history.
A picture of them holding the trophy. A picture of them stripping the ball out of Toledo's hands. A picture of them just crushing Toledo's quarterback. So nothing, just kind of, I don't know, just get the, I guess get the good, think well and think good things, and I guess maybe they'll come to fruition. But just think it's interesting. They just kind of take it to another level. And you could probably argue under former coach Scott Loeffler, they put too much into the Toledo game, and it maybe showed in some of the letdowns of the other games, whereas Toledo kind of maintains the, this is a big game, but every game's a big game, and try to keep the focus or try to keep an even keel. So I don't know.
BG does have some upsets
and
with bad philosophy,
and
though.
BG's done a great job with it. I mean, Loeffler was 3-3 against Toledo. Toledo had the better team every time.
Every time.
Certainly on paper.
In Vegas.
And Vegas, probably at least a touchdown favorite every time. Interesting thing is the home team has lost 4 straight games, so I guess that bodes well for Toledo, and especially having lost last year, you have the motivational edge. And on paper, again, Toledo certainly has the better team, but I don't know. It was I like where BG's at as well, and I like talking to Eddie George for a while about the rivalry. I think he was pretty insightful about what it means, and you can tell he appreciates and embraces it, and I'm excited.
Other than the vibes and the algorithms down on the, you know, on the grass itself, do you have anything to report? What is UT's quarterback situation?
Well, their quarterback situation is Tucker Gleason will be continue to be the guy. I do not have an update on John Allen Richter. I'll have to get in touch with our new Toledo writer, Emma, on that. But, you know, they're riding with Tucker all the way. I think they're kind of righted the ship a little bit against Akron, got the confidence going, and now they've had 2 weeks to prepare for BG. And
it is early in the week, but both teams have been off. Do we have any bulletin board material? Other than Pudge.
Yeah, other than Pudge. Well, I did, you know, pot stirrers that we are, I did ask the Bowling Green players. It actually came to me during it. I did not expect to go in and ask this, but as you recall, when Toledo won in dramatic fashion 2 years ago to extend their a winning streak that eventually reached 11 games, dramatic comeback at Bowling Green, Toledo's fans stormed Bowling Green's field. So the hundreds of Toledo students stormed the Doit. Not something you usually see in an opposing stadium. So stir the pot a little bit. I asked the players, I'm just remembering this, but you know, Toledo's fans stormed your field in your stadium. Is that something that's talked about? Is that they played it diplomatically, but I'm sure it'll be talked about. And And there's bulletin board material on the other side with, it's not a bulletin board, it's just the bulletin scoreboard that Toledo kind of getting handled in their own stadium last year. So
handled.
A lot of motivation.
Unexpectedly handled.
Unexpectedly handled, yes.
Off the top of your head, we know Urban has been part of it, and now Eddie will be part of it. Do we have any other players from the Ohio State Michigan, or players or coaches from the Ohio State Michigan rivalry who are also connected directly to the BG UT rivalry?
Well, I mean, look at, I mean, maybe not as much anymore, but look at Scott Loeffler's staff. He's a Michigan guy, and half his staff was from the Lloyd Carr years, so, I mean, he had monster Ohio State Michigan connections there. For Toledo now, Chip Traynham.
Yeah, that's right.
Their star running
sitting
back
right there on deck.
He was there. Jack Muhort, the color commentator for the Rockets broadcast. He was an All-American.
And a guest on Heart of the Rivalry.
And a guest on Heart of the Rivalry at the Ohio State-Michigan show. Let's see. Perry Eliano. Toledo's
not a household name, but
secondary coach, but he was Ohio State's one of their secondary coaches a few years ago, and a former Bowling Green defensive
that
coach.
Is some expertise that we come to Dave
but
Briggs
Perry
Eliano just
Perry,
on the top of your head.
No, Perry Eliano was Mike Jinks's defensive coordinator at Bowling Green.
Okay.
Got fired after 2 years as they tried to rebuild the flaming dumpster. It only went south after that. But Perry Eliano, good coach, worked his way back and got a job at Ohio State. Was good there, and now is working at Toledo. So yeah, a lot of connections. Very small world, especially in these parts, and when you're dealing with a top five rivalry.
Perry Eliano, Perry Eliuno, Perry Eliuino.
And his son, Perry Eliano's son, is a good player for Central Catholic.
Oh, man, I can't wait for that to pan out in the
and
next
their
few
colors
years.
Are scarlet and gray. So
with, you know, their
together.
Colors are scarlet and gray with the green clover, which I always thought was a nice touch. We love the I-70, Battle of I-75.
The Peace Pipe Trophy.
We love the Peace Pipe Trophy. The Falcons and the Rockets, and we think that's a super fun rivalry. Does it actually have any kind of national view? Would you make it any kind of regional top five rival?
Well, Eddie George today said it is a national top five rivalry in the sport. And he kind of said it in the context of, you know, he grew up in Philadelphia, but coming to Ohio State, Ohio State, Michigan's obviously number one. But he appreciated, you know, BG Toledo's as big as it gets on the mid-major level. And he kind of said it was a top five rivalry in the sport. I wouldn't go that far, and it kind of struck me as maybe a little bit of the harmless, good natured pandering that maybe coaches do to their fan bases and their community.
You know, we
kind
got the best
me,
fans. You know, we always
me,
have the best,
oh, yeah,
fans.
The best fans.
We got the best fans.
Struck me as Ryan Day growing up in New England. He when he got the job, he said, you know, he's kind of an Ohio State fan growing up. He always loved, appreciated the Ohio State Michigan game. It's like, okay, like you maybe that's true, but I doubt it.
Well, let's keep it within the Met.
But anyway, there's not a bigger football rivalry in the Met. There's no doubt. I think football, no way. And if we're talking national, I mean, there's no way. I mean, Ohio State, Michigan, Auburn, Army, Navy. I mean, you can go on and on. I would say. I mean, it's absolutely like a top 50 national rivalry. I think it's unique. I mean,
you have all these other, like, what did I talk about? SMU and TCU and this, you know, the skillet.
Right,
you know, you
right,
have
right.
Like
a million
of those.
A million. But this is unique. I mean, there's not many schools closer together. You got the. It's kind of a clash of the rural versus the urban school, and the
even though
Toledo's
BG is a bigger school,
I know. And Toledo's got maybe a little more resources and a little more. I don't know. It's just it's just an incredible rivalry because everybody
that
lives.
Jason Candle called the Bowling Green players A-seeds.
Unbelievable. Oh my God,
bulletin
board. Hit the bulletin board. Yeah, but yeah, football. I think it's number one. I mean, you have some good rivalries. I mean, I guess basketball, I think you can argue that Kent State Akron is the number one rival in the league, especially now. You look at both those games. Both those gyms are absolutely packed, and those two teams seem like they're going to the tournament.
Does it have a fun name?
Every other year, wagon wheel.
Yes.
I don't know if that's for the football game.
Does that stuff cross over?
I don't know if there's other crossovers, and it's interesting that like a lot of rivalries just don't. I mean, like Ohio State, Michigan. It's like I don't know. It's a basketball rivalry, I guess. But really,
only because of the football game,
right? Only because of the football game, and you see like the softball team and the baseball team. They're told it has to be a rivalry, so
yeah.
it's like okay, whatever. But
Civil War.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true too. But yeah, no, I mean, I just think it's the rivalry that unites and yet divides us. I mean, it's the ultimate thing. Everybody has a connection to Bowling Green or Toledo who lives and works together. So that's what makes it special, just the bragging rights and right here where it belongs on a Saturday afternoon.
I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to going out there and seeing the crush of orange. I think it's going to be serious. Well,
BG has great colors. Fellow Cleveland Browns fans.
We've talked about this on the show before, but Paul Brown loved those colors so much, he modeled the Browns after the Falcons colors.
Browns used to train at Bowling Green's campus in the early years of the Browns. I think from 1946 to 1955, they had their summer training camp right down I-75 there.
If you're watching this on YouTube right now, we are putting up a picture of Paul Brown running the camp. At the Cleveland Browns training camp at Bowling Green.
It's
from our
photo.
Blade archives.
Yeah.
It is a great photo.
Love
you
it.
Like that?
I do. That's good stuff.
All right, get us out of here on this segment. We'll look forward to Ohio State and Michigan next, but give us a score.
I do think Toledo's the better team. They have vengeance on the mind. As inconsistent as they can be, I think they cover the 7.5-point spread. I'd say 30-20.
30-20. I always love to make high scoring predictions, knowing that it likely won't pan out.
Yeah.
But in this case, I wouldn't be surprised if a 40-30 kind of a game.
Toledo does have a great defense.
I don't care,
yeah,
man. What are you talking about?
Right.
You throw that stuff out.
Yeah, throw the records out. It's a robbery, baby.
Okay. Bowling Green 25, Toledo 3.
Oh my goodness. All right. Wow. Is that your real pick?
I think BG's going to win.
Okay.
I think BG's going to win.
That would not be good for Toledo.
I know that.
In a lot of ways.
That's not, that is not the reason for that prediction. It's not to inflict pain on Toledo. But I just think that these are the games that Toledo often does not show up for.
Yeah.
Right? And like you said,
All right. Where does Toledo go from here if they lose to Bowling Green for the fourth time in 7 years? A season of incredible expectations is 3-3. Where do you go from there? I mean, that kind of feels like a program.
Well, the MAC is
crazy. Program at a crossroads kind of situation.
I would say that would 100% be true.
Like, very big picture.
Yeah. Ohio U just got beat by Ball State, though. So that happens in the MAC.
UCLA beats Penn State.
Rushes the field.
That's the Big Ten, right?
It's hard to tell what they're doing out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, you talk about a program where the passion is gone.
Yeah.
UCLA, oh my God. And is this Ohio State's fault? You know, is that Ohio State's fault on some level? And Michigan's, or, you know, the big players in the Big Ten and the consolidation of what the Big Ten has become?
I don't think so. I mean, I think the parity is more than ever now. I mean, Ohio State and Miami look like great teams, but, I mean, that's why you're seeing these crazy results every week, is there's more parity across college football. Ohio State and Michigan and Alabama, they can't stockpile great backups anymore. Those guys are transferring to the UCLAs of the world. So I think it's actually the opposite in a way, that there's more parity than ever now.
Ba, 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 ba.
Do you think the Tigers are going to win tomorrow? Do you want the Tigers to lose?
It kind of made me mad. Normally, I have no problem rooting regionally, but
the
way they dispatched the Guardians angered me.
Yeah.
Angered. But let's go down to Columbus. Ohio State played the Golden Gophers, and though they were only averaging, they were giving up 5.7 points a game. That average went down. They beat the Gophers 42-3. Julian Sand had one more incompletion than the Gophers had points, which is just crazy. So is there anything that stands out for you from that runaway?
Not really. But like you said, Julian Sand, incredible efficiency. I mean, just taking care of business is something to be said for that. As we're talking about the modern era of college football, and this almost is starting to have the feel of like a 2019 Ohio State team that is just possible. They just kind of win all these games with just incredible efficiency, just great star power. We didn't know what to make of Matt Patricia, the new defense and a new quarterback, but I think Julian Sand, you'd have to give him an A so far, and Matt Patricia, I was as critical of that hire as anybody, but that's an A++. I mean, maybe teams will start to figure him out eventually, but it hasn't happened yet. I mean, this is you put that kind of defensive brain power with all these first round stars on this defense. I mean, I know people are saying Miami maybe should be number one, but I don't see it. I think Ohio State's the clear number one team so far.
I actually low key. Pull for Miami.
Yeah.
I like the Hurricanes.
Actually,
just being
they're
a
great.
Kid and seeing their like trash talk.
Yeah,
yeah, but I don't know. It's not that Miami's not good and impressive. How would you displace Ohio State?
Yeah.
You know?
Especially if Ty goes to the defending national champion.
Sure.
I know there's different teams, but and the Texas win is not looking so impressive. That's a topic for another day.
Arch
but,
Manning.
My God.
Wow.
Is he about to get benched?
Wow, not looking good. Man, that is a real surprise. I usually always think the media is speculating on during preseason. They're always so right.
I know. That's a shocker.
So, you know, when you get a W, you on some level can call that taking care of business, but Michigan makes it closer than you might have wanted against Wisconsin, which you witnessed. What did you think?
I was there. It was very hot. First time I've ever seen mist machines at Ohio Stadium or Michigan Stadium in October. But Michigan stays hot, winning their second game in a row. I believe maybe third. But yeah, you wouldn't expect them to be a field goal game well into the third quarter against a Wisconsin team down to their third string quarterback and lost 8 of their last 10 games. But big picture, I think Michigan just has the perfect schedule to kind of develop while still contending. Last year, just had a brutal gauntlet. They played all 5 of the top 5 teams in the Big Ten, 7 ranked teams. This year, it's kind of a festival of crap. Pretty festival.
Didn't you call this show a festival of speculation?
Yeah,
now we have a
festival
of crap.
A festival of mediocrity. I remember from the Johnny Depp trial, the festival of ice cream was said. So now I
oh, God.
But, yeah, I mean, look, first of all, no knock on the schedule, but let's completely knock the schedule. I mean, I think the combined 2024 record of their first 8 Big Ten opponents last year was 20-52. So they're avoiding the cream of the crop. I guess it's the cream of the crap. But they are, but TCB, they're taking care of business. And next week is going to be a bit of a tougher challenge at USC. I think the way we saw Illinois kind of push them around up front is kind of the blueprint. Michigan is strong, should be able to control the lines of scrimmage. We saw them run the ball well against Nebraska. We saw them run the ball well against Wisconsin, top running defense in the country. So I do think Michigan has the pieces. They're running the ball. Bryce Underwood's kind of allowed them to graduate into the modern era with the passing game, at least.
Post, and he's still a baby.
At
he's
least
in his
post,
fifth game.
Yeah. At least post. They're certainly past World War II. They're probably up to the 1980s now with their passing game. And the defense is very good. They lost their two stars on the defensive line, the first round picks, Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant. But they returned more production than anybody. And they got Rob Moore back from Torres ACL last year, former all league safety. And he's back and had a big interception on Saturday against Wisconsin. So I think Michigan has the pieces. And again, they are able to develop while still contending, which is a rare luxury, I think you lose no more than one game, you have playoff stakes on the line for that Ohio State game. So, exciting times.
Do you know what New Orleans has that is maybe the best one that you can go to, including Washington, D.C.? They have an enormous World War II museum.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
in
I know that.
Like
yeah.
Five
it's,
buildings.
It's a great museum. I believe I've been there. I think they actually had the media party for the Sugar Bowl there one year.
I
did not think it would be at the World War II museum.
You would
but
not.
There was like, I don't know, some big, yeah. Have you been there?
I went this past weekend.
Oh, cool.
I did some high and low culture, both through my dabbled in both through my trip to New Orleans. But yeah, I spent a couple hours there and
wow.
didn't get close.
Because your father was in the war, right?
This history lesson and Heart of the Rivalry is brought to you again by Renewal by Anderson. Ready to transform your home? With Renewal by Anderson, buy one window or door and get another 40% off, but only through the end of the year. Schedule your free consultation today at renewalbyanderson.com. We're also brought to you by Dale's Bar and Grill in historic Uptown Maumee. Catch all the college football action as well as NFL and MLB playoffs at Dale's, one of the premier Buckeye bars in Northwest Ohio's Wolverines still welcome. I bet they pull some Rockets and Falcons this weekend. We didn't talk much about Ohio, or at all about Ohio State and Illinois. Are you worried
about
that?
Not worried about it, but it could be interesting.
I mean, Illinois was ranked ninth. That seemed.
Yeah.
Let's just call that wrong.
Yeah.
That's just wrong.
I do think the way Ohio State's defense is playing, their offense is not really making mistakes. I mean, they have all the ingredients to just kind of have a efficient.
That was just
three,
a steamroll job against the Gophers. Man.
I just kind of think they'll win by a few touchdowns. I mean, I don't.
It would be surprising if they did not.
It would be.
It will be surprising when we come back here next week and BG has put the stomp on the Rockets. Somehow they've scored negative points.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
I don't think that's going to happen.
It's bulletin board material from Phil right here.
That's all I'm here for.
I guess I'm providing bulletin board material for the Falcons, so it's
well. You have
out.
You have expertise.
I don't know about that.
I just have $5 words.
Verisimilitude.
It's called detritus, Dave. Thanks, man.
Godspeed. Oh my God.